I sucked it right back. Oh, so we're getting there.
We're cracking open the sparkling waters here. On that note, Aiden Cahy joining me. Hey, cheers.
Excuse me.
You went for the sip already.
Sorry, I was thirsty.
Thirsty, parched.
So how does this work? Are we rolling now?
We're rolling right now.
Okay, cool.
Yep, we're in it.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for driving all the way from Atlanta to make this happen.
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah, and fresh off of playing a show with you as well. Mm-hmm. I was honored to play bass for our house show the other day.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
It was awesome. Yeah. Oh. So I also want to talk about Aladdin Sane, David Bowie, the album that you chose to display here. If you're listening, you can also watch on YouTube, see our beautiful faces, David Bowie's beautiful face as well. Mm-hmm. I was telling you before we started the podcast that album, this one, I really just started getting into because I know David Bowie and Ziggy Stardust and all that, hunky dory. But this one, everybody knows that look.
Yeah,
but I don't feel like the album is talked about as much compared to the other ones.
No, totally.
So I didn't realize it was so free jazz and like crazy.
Yeah, it's very. It's definitely has got a lot of that like avant-garde piano.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like. Yeah, I agree that I feel like it's like the most iconic Bowie look, like the lightning bolt. But yeah, a lot of people like. Yeah, it's a weird album. It's probably my favorite Bowie album.
What made you, I mean, you said it's your favorite, but like, why this one? Because there are a couple Bowie albums you could have picked.
Out of the case, mm-hmm. I actually didn't see which other ones you had, to be honest.
There was Ziggy Stardust in there somewhere, and then that's it, actually.
Oh,
so
okay.
it was really just between the two, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I picked pretty fast. I saw the Aladdin scene. I was like, oh, yeah. Probably just because this was the Bowie album that I like, feel like it was the first Bowie album that I like listened to religiously, which was really nice. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite song?
Probably Time or The Prettiest Star.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you?
I think I really love Cracked Actor.
Oh, yeah. That one's great.
That one is
insane. It's a very sexy song. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. The lyrics are. I was thinking, like, oh, I should do this. I should play this song live because I am also an actor. Uh-huh. And, like, there's a lot of angst here and I can channel that. And then I'm like, one of the lines is suck, baby, suck.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel comfortable screaming that? We'll see. You know, I'm on the fence, but I feel like, you know, it's not totally out of the question. I do like that song a lot. And then whatever the second song is, the one with the really weird piano solo.
Oh,
I think it's just Aladdin Sane.
Aladdin Sane, yes. That's the title track because it's Watch That Man is the opening track,
yes.
Which honestly is probably my least favorite song off the album.
The opening track?
Yeah, it's just fine. Like, I like it, but it's like all the other songs on the record are like Worship, and then that one's like
I kind of feel that. I've only listened to it a few times recently, but I kind of feel that once Aladdin Sane comes on, it gets better after that, I would say. But let's get into the music. I'm excited to chat about all these songs because I have a different perspective on them compared to the other podcasts I've done, because I've actually played them with you.
Oh wow.
And like dissected the bass parts. And you know, we should also promote your show.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
will be at Flickr here in Athens, Georgia on December 30th.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Nice. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is on the bill for that?
For the bill, we have this rapper named Jack who I haven't met before. I checked out his stuff, it seems great. And then my buddy Aiden Prince, who makes like atmospheric contemporary folk music. Whoa. Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting show.
Yeah. Yeah. He just put out a new project within the last month, and it is very good. I saw him live at a house show here in Athens. He opened for my friend CC a while ago, like Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And he had a great live. He was great. He played with an acoustic guitar and like a huge like pedal board. I'm very excited.
I am excited to. I should be here for the show. It's either here in Atlanta, but either way, I will try to make it if I'm here.
Hell yeah.
And you're going to be playing with a trio, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I'll be playing with AJ on keys and drum machine. You met them.
Yep.
And then my other bassist, Sawyer.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we kind of talked about before we played the house show the other day that you had a bigger band. mm-hmm. playing these songs yeah. from your album Luna and mm-hmm. your previous projects as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually watched a video of you guys playing at Smith's Old Bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, whoa, this is crazy to hear these songs in a completely different way than how we played them at the last show.
Yeah.
So I know we've talked about it, but for the listeners, what made you decide to kind of change up the vibe of your live show? And mm-hmm. how would you describe it now?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question, Parker.
it's almost like I'm interviewing you.
Almost like you have it prepared over there. I was playing with the bigger group for a while. We called it Kahi and the Cosmos, was like the mm-hmm. coined name for it whenever I brought them on. And I played with like a couple of different players like throughout the time. And I loved it. It was a really good time. The last time we did that was actually... I believe the last time I played with Cosmos was at Smith's in February.
Okay.
The video you saw was the last time we played. And part of it was because I was away for the summer. I was in Austria for 2 months.
Whoa.
Yeah. And a lot of the gig players like went on to other gigs. Mm-hmm. Spencer, who's my guitarist, is now bassist for Gothlandistan. Javari is bassist for Envy Little now. A lot of the people like just didn't have the time anymore.
Do you mind bringing that up just a little bit closer to your face?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Totally. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah.
No, you're good.
How's that?
That's perfect.
Close enough? Okay, yeah. Cool. But
here, I'll give it a little twist there.
This joint right here.
Cool. Yeah, how's I need that? Some better microphone stands.
So a lot of people moved on, and then I was just trying to figure out what I wanted to do for my live act. And I loved playing with the Cosmos. And as I'm sure you could tell, it definitely took on like a rockier
yeah, it was like more theatrical
tone. Yeah, for sure. And I missed it a lot of ways, but I don't know, I wanted to do a setup where it was way more I guess playing into the whole stripped down feel, and I feel like the arrangement that we have right now, the current three piece, which you know you got to see, is like the bassist, I feel like is like pretty stripped down and like atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm playing with like I'm trying to just step up my game with like pedals. So I definitely, like, I have a delay pedal I'm using for the synth, but I also want to get, like, a nice reverb and a chorus. And then I have that, like, vocal processor for the vocals. But
right.
Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely think it, you know, as I'm sure you also felt, it's a very different vibe. But, yeah, it's been fun to kind of lean into a new feel.
What was the hardest part about doing that transition? Because it can be tough when you have everything seemingly figured out
mm-hmm.
and then... people leave and now you got to figure out a whole new way of translating these songs.
Yeah, totally. It's weird translating in that way because it feels like a reset when you're playing with new members. Because mm-hmm. at a time I'll be playing with someone that I've been playing for like over a year and they like know the parts backwards. And then if I'm like treating the songs with someone new, it's kind of like, it feels like a reset. Which is definitely just like, there's like just like a learning curve there. But yeah, it's a cool experience. Also, another thing that I feel like has been hard with it is being comfortable in the lack of energy or like how open it is with the new setup. Like I feel like...
Like Milk and Honey is a very spacious song.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I listened to the song, like the studio version yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I forgot that that's how it sounded like because of how we were playing it.
Yeah.
And you definitely... chose to make it more open and spacious live.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide to do that, especially when, like you said, it can be a little scarier to have to be comfortable sitting in that?
Yeah, I don't know, it's hard to say, because yeah, it can be pretty uncomfortable like sitting in that, and I feel like there are certain environments that I feel like make it more enjoyable. For example, the house show that we played, like playing in a backyard with candles, I feel like is way more appropriate for that setup.
Sure.
Than,
yeah,
like, I guess different kinds of house shows where like I was playing with the Cosmos and it was like high energy and you're getting people moving. But with this setup, we're like literally having people sit like both nights, both the show on Friday that we did together, people were sitting, and the next night in Interspace, people were sitting, which is just like, it's lovely. It's great.
Right.
But it's like such a different, a very different, just climate of activity.
Totally.
Which is uncomfortable, but I don't know. I wanted to lean into that. Cause I feel like the project that I've been working on right now has been more spacious and atmospheric. So I've just been like kind of like trying to exercise that in a live setting.
your new project that you're currently working on.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we talked about it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know it's a little bit of ways from coming out, but what can you tell the listeners here about this project and maybe, you know, how much, if at all, it differs from Luna, your last album?
Yeah, totally. I'm trying to think of what I can say about it, because it's a lot of, I'm still in the process of demoing for it. I've still just been like tracking a lot. I have no idea how long it's going to be, and I have no idea when it's going to be done. If I had to guess, it's like not going to be before the summer, if not even into like next fall. But I'd say it differs. I would say I've been leaning more into the atmospheric and ambient sound.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it still has like, it still has some numbers on it that are dancier. But it's like, I've been leaning into having fun with like atmospheric effects, and like, I've been like automating a lot of echoes and doing a lot more throws, which I was doing in Luna, but I've kind of like lent into that working on this project. Which the working title for the project is Waiting Room. I don't know if I told you that.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Why that title?
I just think it sounds very liminal.
It does. Yeah.
And the project has been sounding very liminal so far. So I thought it would be fitting.
Liminal is a great word. I love looking at like weird liminal spaces on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
I follow like at liminal spaces, and it's just like the weird, creepy, like, playground, like the indoor playground of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes,
in there, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what your album will sound like.
That's what I'm going
an
for.
An abandoned Chuck E. Cheese.
Precisely. I want that to be the way it feels when you're listening to it. Yeah.
So is there a? I know you said ambient is more the direction you're going in.
Yeah.
Is there an artist or a few artists that have really opened your eyes to this new creative territory where you hear it and you're like, oh, whoa, somebody can actually do this. Like, I kind of want to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. We were, I think, talking about this the other night, actually, but I've been listening to a lot of, I think it's pronounced Infinite Bisou.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The British artist that they make like ambient electronic, also acoustic music. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is like indie rock, indie jazz, but a lot of their stuff is also like very spacious. And I've been listening to like some of their like side projects as well that they've made. And it's just very like, I just have been really inspired by the texture of it. It's like, I want to step up my texture game. I want to like try to be, I don't know. Like, I want to be doing the most with the least going on. Especially just spatially. Like, if you listen to it, it's just like such a space. It's like jumping out of you. And I don't know. It's just like all the arrangements just take their time, which has been like another thing I've been trying to get comfortable with, is like stepping away from like pop arrangements of like having like, you know, 12 bar verse, and then we're going to go back into the chorus and then the bridge, and like kind of just letting it be free. And maybe in that way, like letting the vocals kind of sitting back compared to like the rest of the track. But
right.
Yeah. Which they've been a huge inspiration for that.
Infinite Bisou.
Bisou. Yeah. Bisou, I think is how you say it.
I've definitely heard the name, and I've seen this. I feel like I'm thinking of an album cover with like a little squiggly in the middle.
Yes. Yeah. It's the white with like the face.
Right.
Like pointing up. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I had a few friends try to put me onto them. And from what I remember, it was very sparse and ambient. And I think maybe I didn't quite have the palette at the time to get into it. So maybe I should give it another go.
For sure.
But that's interesting you say that about textures, because I feel like in some ways I'm on the same train as you with that, because I've always been so, since I've started writing songs, I've always been so like focused on just trying to write a catchy melody with a verse and a chorus and bridge, etc., like the typical thing. But there's so much music I love that does not follow that at all.
Totally.
And it's almost like you have to give yourself permission to get weird with it and get experimental, because I mean, maybe not everybody feels this way, but for me it's like, oh, that's not really what I do, but you can. And when you give it a shot, it can be really interesting to see like what kind of things you come up with when you put these limitations of like, no, let's just do one sick melody that will last over this two bar or this two chord progression thing, and that's it.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a lot of music I like that's like that, but it's it's weird. It's almost like you have to make yourself do so much to feel like it's right.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally understand that emotion, especially because I don't know if you feel this way as like, if like whenever you're working as a producer, like feeling like you have to overproduce.
Right.
And then strip That's it the best back way down. Of,
yeah. I should have just said that.
No. Yeah, no, it's real though. Like it's cause it's, I feel like that's a slippery slope to go down is like trying to overproduce because you're trying to, do as much as you can. And then it's, so I find it very impressive when artists have like done very little and it like, it's like, oh, it works.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been making music for a good few years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In those few years that you've been writing, recording, releasing mm-hmm. projects, what have been one or two of some of the biggest lessons you've learned over this time?
Oh, man. I would say if I could talk to myself in 2019 or 2020, to not worry about the mixing and mastering as much as I have. Especially the mastering when I've like self-mastered and I've been trying to like worry about the loudness of my master. I feel like it's like absolutely something you need to worry about and very important, but it was like to the point where it was like very subtractive and it was mm-hmm. like ruining my process of it, like enjoying the music that I had made. Which, you know, yeah. So I wish I had known that. Yeah. Another lesson I'm trying to think of. And this is something I'm still working on as an artist, is just like feeling more comfortable with it being imperfect while I'm like getting an idea out. I feel like sometimes I feel a bit too pressured for it to be like, oh, this has to be very good and perfect, rather than like I'm not comfortable enough to just crash and burn while mm-hmm. I'm tracking something, which when I had been comfortable crashing and burning, it's been like, oh, some of the things I've done here were terrible, and then some of the things I did there have actually like been some of the stuff that I'm like the most proud about, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny how you can spend so much time on
yeah.
something
yeah.
thinking like, oh no, I got to get this part perfect because it's going to be the most interesting part of the song. Mm-hmm. And then you end up spending so much time on something that really you should have just left alone after 3 minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like trying to nail like the perfect EQ thing to like bring down so that there's not that random harsh sound that only you think is there. Which I'm sure is part of the mastering issue yeah. for you as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's I think I can't remember which one of my buddies said it. I think it was my buddy Joshua Brooks,
mm-hmm.
Who's like a big engineer in like the Athens and Atlanta area. I don't know if you've ever met
What's
them.
His name?
Joshua Rooks.
Joshua Rooks.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
So works a lot with Willie, Javi.
Oh, Willie's on your album, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I remember I was like, I shadowed him in a session once where he was mixing. And he mentioned like, I'm pretty sure it was Joshua. If this is someone else, it's kind of embarrassing, but said something along the lines of like, no one's going to know how much time you spent on it. And there's absolutely a diminishing return on like how long you can listen to mixes and masters before you kind of just lose your, I don't want to say like sanity, but like any kind of grasp of like objective hearing, which I think is super fascinating to think about, especially with music that you self produce and make. It's like at what point
you
are
do
you
it
just
all
gone?
For your albums too. Write, record, produce, mix. Mm-hmm. I think it's insane that you master your own stuff too. That's crazy. I would lose my mind.
Thank you. With the exception of Cosmo, my first project Shimmer,
okay,
and then Luna, and then the newest single I put out, I engineered that completely. Cosmo I did not, but yeah, it's definitely like half the battle, I think.
Yeah, and it is very tedious to do all of that, and I'm sure mm-hmm. you do lose a lot of objectivity.
Yeah.
Do you have like confidants that you show your tunes to make sure like, you know, that it's on the right track?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's I have like good friends I like to show my music just for like an outside perspective, like, oh, you've never heard this before. I like to show my friend. I've mentioned CC before, Gothlandistan. I love getting his takes on just anything that I'm working on.
I think it's always good to have a good two or three people that you can show it to
mm-hmm.
and maybe one or two as well that have nothing to do with music,
yeah.
have no idea how it mm-hmm. is made and all that, because you get the real objective notes that you might not expect. I've said it before, but I'll show my mom songs sometimes.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just like cringing, waiting for something. And then she'll just be like, I can't really hear your vocals. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I guess. But it's like, that's how most people are going to hear it, is the way she hears it. So I take that very seriously.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you've been translating some of these songs live, you know, something like Milk and Honey, mm-hmm. how it does feel more spacious, how do you decide which ones you want to reimagine and which ones you feel like, nah, these are the ones that are going to stick like to the studio version?
Oh, it's kind of interesting, and I feel like it's a process that I'm still working through with like trying to figure out some of the songs. I feel like I'm still not like happy with like how they've been sounding in the arrangement. Like for example, like the song Milk and Honey, like that song, I also really like Glass Walls with the current arrangement. I just think like we like, oh, we got the arrangement down. And I feel like it's easier with the ones that are kind of ready for that, arrangement style. Like Milk and Honey is very much so, I think, like the epitome of that, especially off Luna. And I feel like, it just can be kind of difficult to, take some of the, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it, harder, songs, like more up tempo or like, yeah, more hitting songs and translate it into that. Like I haven't been able to play the song Talk with this new arrangement, and I really want to play that, but we've done it and we've been like, ah, it's probably one of the weakest ones in the set list. But yeah,
that's funny, because I wrote that down because I really do love that song.
Yeah
I love that one. And I was listening to it last night and noticed something that I never noticed before, which was the conversation that's happening in what is like the bridge section, I guess.
Yes.
Where it's two dudes being, one of them's like something about what people hating on Wolf of Wall Street. I was like, there's clearly a story here. Where did this come from? I must know.
Okay. Yeah. So those were my two roommates at the time.
Okay.
My friends Spencer and Joshua, and I told them to just act like film bros. And that's what they did. Which is funny because they both were GSU film majors at the time.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, which, you know, not to dog on that in any way, but I wanted it to be, I wanted it to be kind of comical. And I didn't tell them what to say. They came up with that. So Spencer
was
like,
perfect.
Oh, people don't appreciate Wolf of Wall Street. And then other guys like, oh, people are just too offended nowadays.
That's what it was. That's the one that really got me. People are just too offended nowadays. Yeah. Like, dude, we've all heard that fucking guy.
Oh, yeah. No.
And they're just like, shut up.
Yeah. Especially because I feel like with that song, I was like kind of playing into the scary emotion of being a little too messed up and not enjoying a party. So that was kind of like a skit of like throwing up in a bathroom. And that was like a conversation you hear.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know why I just assumed you were in a bathroom and you were overhearing some drunk guys talking.
I recorded my sink actually for that. I turned
on
my sink.
Yeah. Okay. So I was like, I don't know why I thought that, but that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah. That's what I was going for. So I'm glad that was received that way.
It was. And I feel like we've all been there where just two dudes won't shut up about something. And like you want to say something, but you can't.
No. Yeah.
Especially if you're throwing up.
Yeah, exactly.
that doesn't help. But I was like, this just seems like some fresh hell that he just came out of.
Yeah.
But it's very funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really well done. The other song I wrote about, and it's probably no surprise to you, I've told you, but Moderation.
Yeah.
My favorite, I think. Nice. After listening to the album a good few times, Moderation is definitely my favorite. Do you have a personal favorite or a song that you're the most proud of?
Oh, man. As far as like Luna as a project or like my whole...
Let's do Luna and then let's do the whole.
Okay, wow. Out of Luna, it probably is Moderation or Shatter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like just because... Particularly Moderation, I don't know if it is like the... Like sonically my most, I guess my best song, but I feel like it is like, as far as like me working on a demo and being like, I have this like idea of this emotion and this feeling that I want to put into this. And then it came back like that, felt very affirming, because I was very much so going for this like artificial, alien, disconnected, but you know, like wanting something. And I was also just really focusing on the production of like getting it as like choppy as possible and everything like in its respective pockets and boxes and that kind of playing back into the vibe. I worked on that song for like a year, I think, before I was like happy with it. Yeah. I that was one that I like took breaks from for a while. But yeah, I'm glad that that's your favorite. I would love to hear your thoughts on that as well.
Something about it just... hits so hard for me and I think it's just, we even talked about it, how it's just two chords, right? It's basically like bump 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 Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, for talk is two chords for that bass. But moderation is actually four chords. Yeah, four chords total. Which is still, you know, it's like a, and then the chord progression will wrap twice and like, yeah, play one of the chords instead of two of the chords. Yeah, so it's like very, it's still very, very simple.
Yeah, I think there's just something like about also the bass line or the I'm not sure quite if you're doing a synth bass,
mm-hmm.
but that just like on this repetitive, like it just gets me in the zone. And mm-hmm. then the way you're singing is just like so, like, I don't know, it's so carefree.
Uh-huh.
And then the verse, who's on it as well?
Wait, which are we talking about?
Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong one.
Are we talking about talk?
I was thinking moderation, right? Is that not featuring somebody?
No. Moderation's a solo track.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I'm still thinking of moderation. I just might be getting confused.
Because talk has a Gothlandistan on it, actually.
Right.
Yeah, which that was the one we were talking about. It's literally like a B and a C in the bass.
Oh, okay.
So it is like,
so maybe that's the one I'm thinking of. But moderation is still, like, I know it is because I mm-hmm. wrote it down. I wrote probably my favorite tune. But maybe talk is also up there, and that's just the one I'm thinking of right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if we're talking about talk, then that's why I love that one so much, is because of the groove of the synth bass and the way you guys are just playing around it. Like, it just feels like such a fun song. And mm-hmm. I feel like the whole album in general is the soundtrack to like a chill house party.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just hanging out. And then it is funny to think about how in talk, there's that little skit in there. I'm like, oh, that's another reason why it feels like this house party, like this whole album is like the soundtrack to a house party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So other than Luna, with mm-hmm. other projects you've done, do you have a favorite off of those?
Oh, I mean, I guess as a whole, probably Glass Walls, I'm mm-hmm. also really proud of. I think that's like one of my best songs, like as far as just like how digestible it is. And it's just like such like a, I think like an objectively catchy tune that I'm like, I'm really proud that I was able to make that. But also like when I wrote Glass Walls, I was like feeling like very, very down in mm-hmm. the gutters. And that was like a moment, especially like I was young working on that one. Like I was only, not that I'm not young now, but just like I was 18 at the time. It was just like, I was still like, very like insecure about mm-hmm. myself as like a writer. So the fact that I was like, I had like a process where I just kind of snapped and wrote a song, was just like very like, oh yeah, this is what I do. This is what I want to do.
Sometimes it just hits different for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I also love the newest single as well.
Oh, Between. Yeah.
Yes, because that was the one that I sent you a video of when we were figuring out how to play bass.
It is, yeah.
And I was like bummed out when we're like, oh, it's not on the set list though.
Which
like, the one I learned.
I don't know why I had totally forgot, like blanked. I was like, yeah, that's the set list, and then did not. And then just, I was hoping to add it for the show at Flickr on the 30th.
Oh,
but
there you go.
Yeah. So I don't know why that one got left off. Yeah. But
I mean, that is a great song. You have so many. Like, I only have like eight. Like, I feel like I only have like 8 or 10 songs. Like, the idea of leaving some out is like so foreign to me. But mm-hmm. Do you have 2 albums? I know you have 1 full album, an EP, a couple singles.
Yeah, and then I put out a project towards the end of high school called Shimmer.
Right.
Which I don't know if you've heard that. That's like,
I've listened to all of it at least once.
It's very very different. That was a very mm-hmm. different time. I guess like 2 albums and an EP.
Gotcha.
With Cosmos, the EP, and then Shimmer in 2020, and then Luna in 2022.
Do you have a song or a project that you feel like was the most difficult to complete for whatever reason? Gave you the most trouble?
Luna was really difficult to complete. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be honest. That actually, like, doubling back to the whole like mastering issue was like mm-hmm. with me working on a 10-track project that I was like also mixing and mastering. Like, I want to say I finished producing. Let me think about this. I finished producing Luna. I think the last song I produced on it was like in May. I put it out in late July. Which actually, I guess, is pretty late. But before that, most of the songs were done for like months. that I was just like not happy with how the finished product sounded. Mm-hmm. And that it was like, it was to the point where like I almost was scrapping the whole project. Like, whoa. The whole cliche of like, oh
yeah, classic,
fuck all this. Like, am I allowed to curse on here?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah. Fuck all this. Like, I don't want any of it. And then like, I would take a month off from listening to it, and then I'll go back and be like, oh wait, yeah, this is, I just, yeah, I'd
remove myself. Yeah, you need that reprieve.
Yeah. Yeah. Which made it very much so challenged to finish. Yeah.
That's why I'm just shocked that you would choose to master your own stuff. I mean, mixing is one thing, and even that is a lot. But mm-hmm. like, some of my favorite, all my favorite music now is stuff of my own. I mean, is stuff that I did not mix and master at all.
Interesting.
Like when I started, I was mixing it, and to this little knowledge I had, it was just going off of instinct, and then using like. Lander mastering. Do you know that?
No.
It's a website. It's just like, oh, you know,
okay, right. Yeah, yeah. Is it like an AI
basically
generated, like, yes. You like submit the file and it'll like, okay, I see it.
Yeah. So, you know, I was like, oh, whatever, it's good enough. And maybe it was at the time, but like to think about having to mix and master my own stuff now mm-hmm. just sounds like a nightmare. But really that's just because the people I've chosen to work with are, I think, fantastic at what they do.
Yeah.
So I really commend you for taking on that that challenge of, you know, not only the challenge of just mixing and mastering, but your brain having to deal with all of that is a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's been a pain in the ass before. Yeah.
And are you planning on doing that for this next project as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. I plan on hopefully making the project at least partially seamless. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to make the whole thing seamless, but that's Which part of me wanted to do that for Luna, and then part of me did not because I started making it seamless and I was like, oh, I can't keep doing this for a whole project. And then, so now it's the next step is like, okay, how can I make myself even more uncomfortable mm-hmm. as an engineer? But yeah, I appreciate that a lot because that's definitely been like, I think one of the biggest challenges as far as putting out music is like being content with a finished product.
Yeah. So with this new project, mm-hmm. being in the middle of working on it, how do you feel like your previous projects that you've done, Luna, Shimmer, what lessons did you learn from those specific albums that you're like, oh, I'm going to do this again for the next one, or I'm definitely not going to do this again for the next one?
Yeah, totally. That's a great question. Damn, that's got me stumped. I'm really trying to think of what I've learned that I don't want to do again, or things that I definitely want to do again. I definitely think I've learned, especially with Luna, thinking about the order of the tracks very early in the project, like very, very early. I'm thinking about what track is going to be before what, before I'm even like starting to record vocals or before I'm starting to like think of arrangement. I'm like, okay, where in the project would this be if it sits? And so that's been fun. And that's been really, really fun. Thinking
that's
about
really
like,
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been because for Cosmo and Shimmer, especially Shimmer was just like kind of like a collection of songs that I put together and did not really think of them as like together. Cosmo, I definitely thought of like as together, but the order was like figured out at the last moment. And then Luna was like, as I was going into it, I was like, okay, this is going to be into here. And I wanted to even like continue that completely, which, yeah. So that's definitely something I've learned that I want to keep doing. I'm trying to think of anything that I'm like trying not to do. And I definitely, I think I'm trying not to stress too much about, I'm just trying to stress less about it, I think.
That's a great goal. And it's nearly impossible.
Yeah. I think, and it just is like a general thing that we all try to do about everything mm-hmm. that we do. But it's like, as far as like me working on music, that's something that I've been like trying to do less, is just like trying to just enjoy it as much as possible, because the things that I have been stressing about previous projects, I've been like, oh, I didn't actually need to worry about that at all. And just using that, I guess that might just be part of like getting older, you know?
Yeah. What do you feel like have been the things you've left aside? You're like, this is not worth the stress anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what do you feel like are some specific things that you've left behind?
I think like while tracking vocals, I've definitely been way more comfortable than I used to be.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to hate tracking vocals, especially just like
hearing your voice. Yeah, didn't like it.
Mm-hmm, hearing my voice, didn't like it. It was like, and I feel like I have a better ear now for, like when I'm tracking vocals or I'm tracking synths or what have you, having an idea of what it's going to sound like when it's sitting right and when it's, I don't want to say like processed correctly, but like how is it going to sound in the context of the way that it's going to be glued together. So like when you first, like, for example, like recording saxophone initially off the bat, I'm like, Jesus Christ, this tone sounds terrible with this. And then like having an ear for like, well, what can I do to make this sit better? And the texture of it.
Yeah.
Has been something, which back to texture, I'm like trying to get better at.
Exactly. Project. Yeah. We didn't even touch the fact that you also ripped the saxophone.
Oh yeah. Thank you. Thank
when
you.
Did you start playing?
I started playing in the sixth grade. That was my first instrument. Okay. Actually. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, you don't meet a lot of people that pick it up at like 19.
No, I think we talked about that. Yeah, that's,
yeah,
like, that's,
I think we did.
It's an instrument that you start earlier. You, yeah.
So was there a point where you thought about leaving that behind? Because something to me about, you know, learning, I played clarinet in fourth and fifth grade, and like no part of me felt like, oh, I'm going to keep this up. Like in my mind, this was something that was school related.
Yeah, absolutely.
So did you have that feeling with saxophone ever?
Totally. Yeah. Especially when I finished high school, I felt like super burnt out from the saxophone and like enjoying it. I did not put any saxophone on Cosmo, which was my first project after I left high school. That was like my first year in college was like working on Cosmo, and I didn't even think about recording saxophone onto it. And it wasn't until Luna that I want to start incorporating it. Mm-hmm. And I've been incorporating it even more in the current project. So it's cool. Just like, I want to embrace it more, I feel like. Yeah.
Do you like Bon Iver?
I do. Yeah. I don't know a ton of their stuff, to be honest, but yeah.
I just came to me that there's one song that you might enjoy just in terms of like textured saxophones.
Okay.
Like Bon Iver has this song, I think it's called, I know it's on 22 A Million, which is my favorite project of his. Have you heard that one?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I'll send you the song. I'll be honest, and by no means isn't my favorite on the album, but it is really interesting what he does with it. It might only be one saxophone going through an insane amount of effects that have like this delay, but it sounds like 100 saxophones at the same time, all with this crazy chorus effect. And it's almost just like synth chords, but it's clearly like a real saxophone.
Wow.
It's very interesting. So I'll send that to you. I think you might enjoy it. If anything, just for like the texture of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Please send them my way.
Yeah, I'm sure. That whole album, I think you would enjoy because it's a lot more electronic and strange. Whereas the other ones are more folky, which if that's your bag, that's you, you know? Mm-hmm. But for me, like I really like 22 Million because it's like fucked up electronics but through the lens of a folk artist.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Yeah, I haven't done like a dive.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that's like I should, and it's just been on my list, but I've never gotten around to it. Yeah,
we all have artists. I was just talking about this with Spite Hound, who's an artist here who's awesome. He rules. But we were talking about how there's always artists that you feel like you just really want to get into and have not found your avenue into getting into them yet. And,
totally.
Bon Iver, even though I am into him now, and he was actually one of the best concerts I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
There's still some barrier that I can't like listen to every album of his all the time.
Yeah.
Like, not that that needs to be, I guess, a prerequisite to saying you like someone, but like, I feel like I should like him. Yeah, exactly. An apostle of their way of life. But Bon Iver is sick, and that album I would highly recommend if you haven't checked it out.
Cool. Yeah, I would definitely have to check that out.
Sweet. Well, Kahi, you want to take this over to the last five? Where I ask you five quick questions and
absolutely.
We're done?
Yeah, that flew by. How long have we been talking?
We've been doing about 40 minutes.
Wow, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said I'll ask you, but actually the universe will be asking you.
Oh, wow.
So okay, you're going to pick some pieces of paper out of this bowl here, each with a question, and then you'll just answer it.
Okay, cool. Like, I'm good to pick any?
Any of them, yep. And you can just read it out loud. Number one is going to be?
Song you wish you wrote. Oh, man. Song I wish I wrote. I've been listening to the new King Krule album a lot recently.
Mm-hmm.
And Empty Stomach Space Cadet is a song I wish I wrote.
Ooh, that one's not coming to mind, like how it goes, but I do like the album.
Yeah, I really like that album. And I'm not a huge King Krule person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this was like, this has been the first time that I've like been listening to a project by King Krule and been like, oh yeah, I really like this like as a whole.
Interesting. So yeah. You weren't listening to him much before this one?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's wild, because I've been a fan. I became a fan after The Ooze, even though that album I don't really love. But I like, that one came out and then I learned about his first album and listened to that all the time.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of shocking, because I really think you would enjoy a lot of songs throughout his whole discography if you like the new one. I think the new one's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little darker and a little more, I don't know. I guess it's just a little darker, a little gooier.
Okay, yeah.
But I feel like maybe his other stuff doesn't quite hit that, you know? So if that's what you're into, I totally see that. But I would give a listen to the other ones as well.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to backtrack on that.
So Empty Stomach, Space Cadet.
Yeah.
That's the song?
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Just especially as far as just like production, it's just like so, like I'm like, oh, that is, yeah, that's been another thing that I've been like, ah. Oh.
Yeah, and he also loves to use saxophone as well.
Yeah. A lot of cool saxophone, especially talking about texture and mixing is like, another great example.
Yeah, the
of that.
Theme of today is texture.
Yeah.
I'm gathering.
We've been talking a lot about texture.
It's important.
Yeah,
it's important,
it is. It
aspect.
Is. Think about a white noise.
Yeah. I'm more of a brown noise.
Oh,
fan.
Okay. Valid. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a preferred color noise?
I like pink noise a lot.
Pink noise, which, yeah.
Yeah. When I've heard it, I've been like, oh, that's nice. But I'm not exactly sure what... separates it. I've also been trying to get more comfortable with creating drones.
Okay.
Yeah. There's been some tracks on the current project dronier that I like. Yeah.
I've never even attempted to try to do something like that, but that would be kind of a fun little challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's check question number two.
Number two. Here we go. Unexpected musical influence. Huh, so is this like somebody that I think I listen to that I don't think a lot of people...
Yeah, like a lot of people wouldn't realize that you're a big fan of this person.
I'm a huge SmiNo fan.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
we did
talk about
that.
We were talking about
that.
This, yeah. Yes. I've been on, especially recently, like the last 6 months, I've been on a huge SmiNo kick.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've been listening to Black Swans a lot. I've been listening to Love for Rent a lot.
Okay.
I am a really big fan of his production style.
Interesting. Yeah. What about it grabs you?
I just think... it just like itches a part of my brain that is just so stimulated when I listen to his music, that is like the production is so like synthy and video gamey, but it's like, and he's just like floating on it, like cool as a cucumber, that it just like, it just, yeah, it's good driving music. I really like driving around some, you know?
Yeah. I really only know one song of his.
Which one's that?
It's Black Swan.
Oh, nice.
That song.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah.
I think that's the song. I know it's on that album.
Yeah.
And I think the song is Black Swan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this song rules. But yeah. I've never... And I liked that album, but that was always the one that stuck out for me.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, I just haven't delved into. I know I need to give that new album a listen, but I'm a little intimidated. It's kind of long.
It is. That's another thing about SmiNo, is like, all of his albums have been very, very long. Which,
yeah.
You know, is, I think, it, you know... Yeah,
it's, I mean, if it's great, it's great no matter how long it is. But yeah. Something about seeing that it's like over an hour, I'm like, oh, I don't know, maybe, we'll see.
Gotta lock in with that.
Yeah, but SmiNo, that's a great answer.
Yeah.
All right, number three.
Flying through these.
I know.
Underrated artists at the moment. I've got to say Infinite Bisou again. I wish more people knew about him.
Yeah,
I think they're great, yeah.
Where are they from?
I think they're from London.
Okay.
And I think they record a lot of their music in France, if I'm not mistaken.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is my... Don't quote me on that. Again, I didn't even know if that was the proper way of pronouncing that way with their name, which I feel like is a little embarrassing, but yeah.
That's kind of a tough name to pronounce.
Yeah, that, yeah. It's spelled like B-I-S-O-U-S.
Right?
Yeah. Which is... I'm always wondering, like, oh, what is that?
But, Infinite Bisou. So second time that's come up, I'll need to give them a listen after this.
Playing back into that theme of texture.
Right. All right, question number four. We really are flying through these.
Yeah. Fantasy supergroup.
This can be a tough one.
So give me some parameters or rules to this.
So usually I try to say, you know, let's keep it not bigger than a four piece unless you can come up with something quickly. Because, you know, if you're like, oh, it could be infinite amount of people.
Oh, wow.
So let's say... trio or four piece.
Okay. Dead or living?
It, you know, let's, we can do both.
Okay.
But, yeah, sometimes if you include both, people take forever. So if you can come up with people pretty quick, or if it's just easier to give yourself a limitation.
Yeah. 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 Okay. All right. I'm thinking of a trio here. Okay. Well, actually, can I have a trio, but one of the members is actually full group?
Sure. Yes, yes.
So, okay, I'm thinking we got Bill Evans on piano.
Whoa. There's a Bill Evans album in there.
I saw. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My, shout out to Jackson, who gave that to me for my birthday one day. I was like, who the hell is this? And he was like, you're going to love it.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was
yeah.
like, it was cool because I don't listen to jazz a whole lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was nice to be gifted something I would never buy for myself, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah,
and
totally.
I really like that album. Bill yeah. Evans is sick.
It's great. Okay, okay. So we got Bill Evans on piano. We've got Kraftwerk as a whole on drums.
Whoa.
Like, they're all on drum machines.
Okay, okay. This is insane already. This is my favorite supergroup anybody's done already.
And then we've got myself on saxophone.
Cool.
And then David Bowie on lyrics.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no bassist?
I'm sorry. I
I wasn't implying me, but... I mean,
come on, Phil.
I mean, yeah, why not at this point?
I'm trying to think of if I know any, like, literally the only bassist I can think of off the top of my head is Thundercat.
I mean, that would
yeah,
be sick.
Which would be a crazy bass. So there you go. Yeah.
Flea, even though that might sound strange,
uh-huh.
He does, I've seen him do some very interesting styles as opposed to just Red Hot Chili Pepper stuff.
Huh.
But Thundercat, of course, would yeah. be probably ideal for that.
Yeah, which I know is kind of, that's a silly answer, but
no,
it's hard. Great. It's hard to come up with a serious answer to that. I think that's
yes, yeah. No, that was a great answer, and you had those pretty much lined up. Sometimes it takes a while to go to go through that one. Not naming names.
It feels very storied.
Right, yeah, right, right. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes a couple of these questions, I'm like, man, maybe I should get rid of that one
because yeah.
we've been on this for 10 minutes.
I accidentally ripped that one, by the way. I'm sorry
oh
about
my
that.
God.
Yeah, so
there's
I guess it's gone.
Some You're history done. There too, dude. You are not the first person
oh, okay, okay,
to cool. rip. Yeah, don't feel bad, but maybe a little bit because now I have to write it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is funny. Everybody wants to. I saw you rolling.
Yeah,
it,
yeah. I know,
and I was
I know.
Like, I'm not gonna say anything. That's fine. Rolling, that's fine. Yes, didn't even notice that you ripped it.
My apologies. I did not
it's
mean to.
It's okay. Friend. Like I said, literally like two or three other people have done it. So it's just, oh, it comes with the game. I need to like laminate them.
Yeah.
That would be pretty smart. but anyway, let's do the last question.
Yes,
here.
Number five.
Yeah, let's
yeah.
knock it out.
It's not dilly dally here.
We're coming in at a crisp 50 minutes.
Nice. That's yeah. a good amount of time. Three desert island albums.
Ooh, this is a good one. This is a good one to end on.
Okay. All right. Three desert island albums. Okay. Okay. I'm not going to take very long with this. This is, okay.
No, no, it's okay.
Tourist History by Two Door Cinema Club.
Okay. Is that the one with the cat
yes,
on the album?
With yeah. the two. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like that is like their, I think their biggest album.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion is like the perfect pop album.
Yeah,
I love that album. It's
like What You Know, that song.
Yes, come on,
unreal.
Now. Come on now. Mm-hmm. They were, oh my god. Even like the deep cuts off that album are mm-hmm. like catchy as hell, and it's just like so yeah. But okay, and then the second one, probably Online by Triathlon.
Oh yeah, we've talked about Triathlon.
Yeah.
You've seen them, right?
Yeah,
a few times.
Yeah, yeah. I saw them twice. Yeah. I once at Aisle 5, and then the second time at a show in Savannah.
Oh, cool.
So the next night, yeah.
I don't know that album, I don't think, but we talked about them. The only one I really know by them is Southside.
Yes.
That song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I really love that one.
Yeah, that one's great.
But what's the name of the album again?
Online.
Online.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll check that one out.
Yeah, really like it.
And then what would be your last one?
Probably Chet Baker Sings, to be honest.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I listened to the album.
That's an old one, right?
Yeah.
Chet Baker's older.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice. So you got a good range there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My dumbass, the first time I picked it, I was like, let's do My Bloody Valentine. Let's do Frank Ocean. And then let's do, like, what was the other one I said? Like, I think I said Wilco, Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, and they're like, you're gonna have such a sad time on this album, on this island. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I should probably pep it up a little bit. But in my mind, I'm like, just my three favorites. And you're like, you got a good range though.
Yeah, I would think like the Chet Baker one is for being sad.
Right. Yeah. You gotta have alone, one sad album.
Melancholic alone on that. And then the Two Door Cinema Club is like for when I need to like stimulate myself.
Like, feel we're like, so bad.
Yeah. Literally. Exactly.
On this island again.
Yes. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, cool. Kahi, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
For an episode of On That Note. Yeah, it's a blast.
It's been a very cool experience being here.
Everybody needs to go see you play at Flickr.
Hell yeah, please come.
12:30, December 30th.
Yes.
New Year's Eve Eve.
New Year's Eve Eve. The biggest day of the year.
That's right, at Flickr. Everybody go see them. It's going to be a blast. And yeah, Kahi, thank you again for coming on the pod.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, I'll see you later. Thank you again for tuning into the newest episode of On That Note with Parker Werling. Remember, not only can you listen to the episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, but you can also watch the episodes on my YouTube channel, which is linked in the description below. And on that note, I'll see you guys next time.